What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the JT Sports Podcast. I'm your host, JT. The 2024 NFL Draft is in the books, and it's that time for me to give you guys my draft grades. We're going to do them division by division, starting off with the AFC North. We're going to be breaking down every team in this division's draft class, and I'm going to give you guys my grades. Before we begin, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel. Remember that we're not just a YouTube channel, we are a podcast. You can find this episode available in audio format on all podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts from. The JT Sports Podcast is available. Follow us on Instagram at JT Sports _ or X at JT Sports _. If you have a question that you would like answered on a future episode of the pod, you can send them in the DMs. I do check my DMs pretty frequently. And if you ask a good question, there's a high chance that I probably will answer it in a potential episode in the future. So go ahead, follow me on Instagram and X at JT Sports _, at JT Sports _. And before we get into it, here's a quick word from our partner, Mint Mobile. Does it piss you off how much you pay for your monthly phone bill? Why are you getting frustrated when our partner Mint Mobile has plans as low as $15 a month that give you unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network? Stop getting frustrated with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get access to premium wireless for only $15 a month. That's only $15 a month. Switching to Mint is easy, and it only takes 15 minutes to do. If you're pissed off with how much you pay for your monthly phone bill, switch to Mint Mobile today and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get premium wireless for only $15 a month. Stop getting upset with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and switch to Mint Mobile today. All right, so the Cincinnati Bengals, I felt they had a really strong draft. I gave them a B+. I really came close to giving them an A-, but it's just once you got to round four, the quality of players that they started to draft kind of started to go down a little bit. Now, these were still some really good players that they picked up in the later rounds. Josh Newton could be a really good backup corner, potentially a decent starter. Cedric Johnson has a really good athletic profile, and he was really starting to come on last year, late in the season for Ole Miss. And with a little bit of development, he could become a really good player. But I really love what Cincinnati did with their first four picks of the draft. You get Amarius Mims out of Georgia. I was a little shocked that they went with him. I thought that they would opt to go with somebody who was a little bit more technical, somebody a little bit more refined. Amarius Mims, this dude is a freak. He's built like a damn Wolverine, crazy size, athleticism. He's a Georgia offensive tackle. The kind of offensive tackles that Georgia produces are 1% athletes that move very well for their size. They're maulers in the run game. Amarius Mims is probably not going to start day one because they did sign Trent Brown. He probably gets the nod at right tackle, but we don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy. And if he's inconsistent, we could see Amarius Mims slide in there, similar to what the Pittsburgh Steelers did with Broderick Jones. And initially, I was against drafting developmental offensive tackles in the first round because I'm one of those people that if I'm drafting a player in the first round, you need to be able to have an impact for me day one. Unless you're a quarterback, then I'm willing to let you sit. How the Steelers went about Broderick Jones' rookie season though last year and how well he played, that gives me a lot of confidence that the Bengals are going to have the right plan in place to make sure that Amarius Mims reaches his potential, because if he ends up reaching his ceiling, he could be a top five tackle in the game. And you already have Orlando Brown at left tackle. The interior of your offensive line is pretty good. The Bengals just have not been able to solidify that right tackle spot. And if you end up making the right decision with this pick, Amarius Mims, Orlando Brown, this could be one of the better tackle duos that Joe Burrow can have blocking for him for the next couple of years. Chris Jenkins, absolute stud. This was the best pick that the Bengals made in this draft, in my opinion. He, in most people's analysis, when it comes to the defensive tackles in this class, Chris Jenkins is the best when it comes to stopping the run. Obviously, that was a huge area of weakness for Cincinnati last year. They were one of the worst teams in the league at stopping the run. You lose DJ Reader, who was probably one of your best interior D linemen when it came to stopping the run, and you're going to have to find his replacement. Well, I think you have that in Chris Jenkins. Could he be a little bit more than just a bona fide run stopper? Could he become potentially somebody who also is a solid factor when it comes to pressuring the quarterback? Potentially, I do think that there's a little bit of pass rush upside for him, but even if he doesn't become a defensive tackle that gives you 6-7 sacks a year, having somebody that can be a really big factor in stopping the run, I think also is something that is well worth it, even if you don't get that pass rushing production. Jermaine Burton, I feel like he was really underrated. He wasn't talked about as much as some of the other receivers in this draft class, but he had a really decent 2023 campaign at Alabama, and it could have been a lot better if he had better quarterback play. There were throws that he was wide open, but Jalen Milroe just couldn't get it to him, or he overthrew him, but he's really athletic, has a really good physique. Cincinnati, they're bringing back T. Higgins for one more year on the franchise tag. I doubt they trade him, especially with the draft being over now. I see Jermaine Burton being the day one starter for the Bengals at slot, all right? And I'm really fascinated to see how teams are going to game plan for him and Ja'Marr Chase, because the way these guys are built, they're kind of built like running backs, and Jermaine Burton is also really good after the catch. And I feel like Jermaine Burton never really reached his ceiling in college. You know, he had a lot of hype coming out of high school. He had a really good first year with Georgia. Then he goes to Alabama, and there was so much hype about him, and he was projected to be a top 10 pick in 2022, but then he had a disappointing season. Then last year, you know, he bounces back in a major way, but the production statistically still isn't all that great. But with Joe Burrow being one of the best quarterbacks in the game and having Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on the opposite side of him, there's really a good opportunity for Jermaine Burton to have a rookie season where maybe he gives you 500, 600 yards. And he could be an upgrade over Tyler Boyd, who was getting older in age and he was starting to slow down. And then you got McKinley Jackson, defensive tackle out of Texas A&M. He's also another player that was highly touted coming out of high school that never really came close to reaching his potential at A&M. A couple of scouts feel like he was playing a little bit out of position. And with Lou Anarumo, I think that he definitely is going to be able to maximize all of the potential that McKinley Jackson has when it comes to being a good run stopper. And he also could be a little bit of a factor when it comes to getting after the quarterback also. But I don't think you're going to get a day one starter out of him. I think this is more of a developmental guy who you probably leave on the bench for 2-3 years to see what you have. But overall, the Bengals had a really good draft. I was really close to giving them an 8-, but after round 3, that's when their draft started to drop off a little bit. I do like Tanner Malakan out of Arizona. I definitely think that he should have been drafted before Eric All. Iowa produces really good tight ends, but to me, he's more of a good blocker, and I don't know if you draft a great blocking tight end, you know, this high when you need more of a receiver threat at tight end. But good draft for the Cincinnati Bengals, B+. The Pittsburgh Steelers absolutely crushed the draft this year. This is the best draft that the Steelers have had in a very long time, and they draft really well, but they knocked this draft out of the park. You overhauled your offensive line to the point that now you have not just a lot of quality starters, but you have quality depth. So if one guy gets injured, you have another guy off the bench who can come in and give you serviceable play. And that's really important in today's NFL. A lot of teams that have good offensive lines, they don't have a lot of depth because you invest so much money into the starters. But the Steelers now have probably one of the more younger offensive lines in the league. And with a lot of these rookies that they drafted in this year's draft being on rookie deals, the Steelers, this probably should be an offensive line that should be playing at a top five level for at least the next 6 years. Okay, the Steelers offensive line hasn't been this good since Pouncey retired. Troy Fontenot, offensive tackle out of UW. He was the Steelers' first pick of the draft. I like this pick. One thing about these offensive tackles that are Polynesian or Hawaiian from the West Coast, very often, they're really good. Okay, if you draft one of these Polynesian Hawaiian offensive tackles in the first round, it's a pretty safe pick. And also, it's a pretty high chance that they turn into a really good player. You look at Penei Sewell and what he's doing with the Detroit Lions. Broderick Jones probably stays at left tackle. Troy Fontenot should be at right tackle. Zach Frazier, I didn't really know too much about this dude, but when I was on my guy, Film Is Art, with my dudes already over there, make sure you guys go ahead and check them out. They said that he was arguably the best interior offensive lineman in this class. He could have been the first rounder, and he, without a doubt, is the best center in many people's eyes also. The Steelers haven't had a good center since Pouncey. Was Zach Frazier may be that dude who finally could take that mantle. And if you have a good center, your offensive line, 8 times out of 10, is going to be elite. When you think about the best offensive lines in the National Football League, the majority of them always have great centers. Jason Kelce recently retired with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was great for how many years? And the Eagles' offensive line was always amongst the best in the league. So Zach Frazier, instant starter for them. The Steelers have been experimenting at center for the last 3 years. Remember Kendrick Green. Then you had Mason Cole. Zach Frazier finally is going to be that anchor in the middle of that offensive line. He has a high football IQ, very intelligent player. That's what you want out of your center. Your center is the quarterback of your offensive line. He needs to have a high IQ because he might be in charge of, you know, maybe communicating when the protection's being changed to the rest of the offensive line. So he's the quarterback of that unit, and it's really important if you want to have a great offensive line that you have a great center. Zach Frazier is going to give that kind of play to the Pittsburgh Steelers as a rookie this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being a first-team all-rookie selection this year based off the highlights that I was watching of him. Round three, Roman Wilson was the wide receiver that the Steelers chose to go with. The Steelers have a great track record with wide receivers, so you won't really find me questioning any pick the Steelers make ever when it comes to a wide receiver, but I would have much preferred to have Javon Baker. I felt like Javon Baker was better than Roman Wilson. Even though Roman Wilson is decent, I feel like he could be an outside guy, but I view him more as a slot guy, but he has great speed. He's really smooth, fluid. You look at the Steelers wide receiving core, though. I still don't see another true alpha on the opposite side of George Pickens, though. You feel me? We got Calvin Austin. We have Roman Wilson, who we just drafted. You also pick up Denzel Mims, but I still don't think the Steelers have a wide receiver two that is remotely as good as what Deontay Johnson was. And I know a lot of Steelers fans don't hold this dude in high regard, but he was held back by lackluster quarterback play. If he had better quarterback play, he definitely was more than capable of hitting 1,000 yards. You signed Van Jefferson in free agency, which Van Jefferson is cool, but he's more of a wide receiver three. I don't see him as a dominant wide receiver two. When I'm looking at a good wide receiver too. I'm looking at somebody who potentially could be a low-end wide receiver one as well, similar to T. Higgins. He's a wide receiver two in Cincy behind Chase, but you know that if Chase goes down, he could still carry the load as a wide receiver one. If Pickens goes down, who do the Steelers really have that you can say, oh yeah, like you can get consistent production out of them? I don't really see that right now. I see a bunch of decent to solid receivers, but I still don't really see a true number two option on this team yet. Can Roman Wilson prove himself as that? Most definitely. You know, pretty good route runner. We didn't really get to see him that much and what he can do getting more targets at Michigan because they just choose to run the ball so damn much. But he was a really good player at Michigan. I'm not upset with the pick. I just much rather have preferred Javon Baker. Javon Baker, I looked at his film, and he pretty much is an all-around polished receiver. Roman Wilson, I don't think you get the contested catches with him. You don't get the 50-50 balls or the red zone threat with him neither. But I really love Peyton Wilson, though. And this was my favorite pick that the Steelers made in this draft class. You could have made the debate that this was the best linebacker in the 2024 NFL draft. The only reason he didn't go higher is because he dealt with a couple of injuries during his time at NC State. But when he's healthy, you know, he was one of the best linebackers in all of college football, and he was the best linebacker in the ACC. This dude is a freakish athlete. He can run sideline to sideline. And he finally should be a linebacker who the Steelers should be able to trust against the run, bro, because the Steelers' linebacker play has been so ass for the last, what, 3-4 years? I thought when we signed Miles Jack a while back, that would have fixed it. And I thought last year the linebacker play would have been better with Holcomb, with Cole Holcomb, but he got injured. And the Steelers just can't get it right. So, you know, when you just can't seem to get a position right, you know what you got to do? You just got to oversaturate that position. You just get a bunch of guys in there. You just draft some guys, sign some guys in free agency, and just see who ends up popping out. And I think Peyton Wilson definitely could be a linebacker that ends up being a really good starter for Pittsburgh. And these are the kind of linebackers that the Steelers really like to target, guys who are really athletic, who can really run. You remember when they traded up for Devin Bush a while back and drafted him 10th overall? He was a freakish athlete, but once he suffered those injuries, he was never the same. And once that athleticism went down the drain, it was wraps for him. Peyton Wilson, as long as he can stay healthy, you're going to have a hell of a linebacker. And Mason McCormick, this dude is mean, nasty, and huge as hell. He has tons of experience. I think this dude played like, what, 5-6 years of college ball, and he's a 4-year starter. He played at South Dakota State, which is a FCS school, but this dude is a mauler. He has attitude, and I'm really excited to see this dude go to work on the Steelers offensive line, man. Like, this offensive line gives me a lot of flashbacks to what the Steelers' offensive lines of the past used to be when this franchise was actually a legitimate Super Bowl contender on a yearly basis. You know, they were tough. They were hard-nosed. They were always opening up running lanes when it came to running the ball up the middle. Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, they're going to be feeding families this year behind this offensive line. Now, their last two picks were six-rounders. Logan Lee, defensive tackle out of Iowa. I think he's going to be more of just maybe a practice squad guy, maybe a depth guy. Ryan Watts, developmental corner, but he's not a crazy athlete. And, you know, Texas corners pretty much was the weakness of their defense last year. So I don't really know about him, but we'll see. Overall, this was one of the best draft classes out of any team in the NFL, definitely a top five draft class. When you end up drafting three offensive linemen that potentially all could start for you week one and all produce at a high caliber as rookies, there's no way you can't get anything less than at least an A-. When you have a good offensive line, you end up being able to go further in the postseason. You see, for Pittsburgh, it doesn't really matter who ends up starting at quarterback this year. I don't really think they're going to be going that far, but You know, when you have a guy like Arthur Smith that wants to run the ball a lot, utilize play action, that offensive line has to be able to open up those holes, and they got to be able to be dominant. And that's what the Steelers should have now out of that offensive line. So I'm a big fan of what the Steelers did in the draft. Coming from a Pittsburgh fan, this is one of my favorite drafts that I can recall the Steelers having in a long time. The Baltimore Ravens had another great draft. It seems like they always seem to have the recipe for having great draft classes. They always know who to pick. They never seem to reach for anybody. They always seem to find steals in the later rounds. And TJ Tampa, cornerback out of Iowa State, was another one of those late round gems. When he was available, there were many NFL fans that were saying that their team needed to draft them. There were Chiefs fans that wanted them, Buccaneer fans that wanted them, not just because he would have been a good fit in their scheme, but because of his last name. And the Ravens ultimately get him. He's not a crazy athlete, but he can jump out of the gym. He has a basketball background. He's a really physical press man corner. And these are the kind of cornerbacks that the Ravens like to draft around this portion of the draft. Remember, they also have Jalen Armour Davis, who used to play for Alabama. He kind of had like a similar profile to TJ Tampa, good measurables, but he was a way better athlete. So we'll see what the Ravens can do with TJ Tampa. I see him more as a slot corner. I love DeVonta' Walker. DeVonta' Walker, he's not somebody who I think is going to bring a lot to your offense in terms of somebody who's going to make a lot of plays after the catch. But in terms of saying, hey, go downfield, run a post route, run a now route, get open, burn the guy downfield, that's what DeVonta' Walker is going to be for you. You do have Nelson Agholor, who's probably going to be your starter on the opposite side of Bateman and Zay Flowers, but I could see DeVonta' Walker pushing him for that starting job, and they could end up splitting playing time, because I don't really think there's a lot of differences in Nelson Agholor and DeVonta' Walker's game. Nelson Agholor is a better route runner, but DeVonta' Walker, I don't think he's too shabby as a route runner, but he's more somebody who you're going to say, hey, we need you to go be that vertical threat downfield for Lamar Jackson to sling it to you. And I think that DeVonta' Walker is definitely going to be a really good fit in Todd Monken's offense. They got Adisa Isaac, edge rusher out of Penn State. This is another Big Ten pass rusher that the Ravens choose to draft. And I'm not really a big fan of this pick, because it's just like the Ravens draft phenomenally well, but the one position that they cannot seem to get right is edge rusher. That's why they had to sign Jadeveon Clowney. And the year before that, Justin Houston, they had to sign older guys in free agency because they can't get it right with the younger guys that they draft. You still have Adolphe Owe, okay, who flashed a little bit as a rookie, but ever since then, we haven't really heard of him. And then you also do have David Ojabo, who, you know, like last year, he's still trying to work his way back from that injury, but you know, is Adisa Isaac finally going to be that dominant edge rusher that the Ravens have been looking for? Are you finally going to have a young, productive pass rusher? Because you kind of need that. The rest of your defensive line is lit. But imagine if you could finally find the elite pass rusher on the outside. Your defense would go from elite to maybe all-time great if you could find that. You already got Justin Madubuike. You're lit at linebacker. You're stacked in the secondary. And speaking of the secondary, your first pick, you go with Nate Wiggins. I didn't even think Nate Wiggins was going to fall that far. I thought he was going to be at least the first or second corner coming off the board. He was my second-rated corner. Physical, great man, press corner. He's sticky. I wonder how they're going to play him, because Brandon Stevens still is pretty good. He also, you can move him around in the slot, and then you still have Marlon Humphrey. So you had a already good, you give an already great secondary another great corner, and now they just have tons of depth where they could rotate guys. Maybe they could run a lot more dime packages if they wanted to. It's just so many things that the Ravens can do now that you have Nate Wiggins. But you know, they're just stacked that corner right now. They have guys who are going to be quality starters. They got guys who can be decent developmental guys, depending on how the ball rolls with them. And then in the seventh round, they got a Michigan State offensive lineman who is a center. He was one of the better offensive linemen in the Big Ten. And this is a guy who potentially, maybe you move him to guard and maybe he could compete for a starting job, maybe, or maybe down the road, or maybe he's just somebody who could play, you know, either center or anywhere on the interior offensive line. He can play either guard spot for you, so he gives you a lot of versatility. But the Ravens have been doing a really good job of drafting offensive linemen in the later rounds of the draft that have really high potential with really good size and freakish athleticism. This was another good draft by Baltimore once again. I kind of wrestled between giving them this A- and a B+, but you know, I look at TJ Temple, he could end up turning into a really good player. Devontae Walker could turn into a great deep threat for them. Devin Leary, he looks like a decent backup. You know, he had a really disappointing year at Kentucky. Oh my goodness. Like, if they gave him any NIL money, he definitely finessed them for it. But he could definitely be a better backup than what Tyler Huntley was. Tyler Huntley wasn't bad, but Devin Leary gives you a lot more as a passer. And, you know, he's not really that athletic, but Todd Monken probably wants somebody who can sling the rock. You don't really need a dynamic quarterback. It's a passing league. You already are stacked that running back as it is. So, unfortunately, if something happens to Lamar, and I still think that you're probably searching for some more answer with your backup QB spot. But at least your pass game can be a little bit better if you got a roll with Devin Leary. The Cleveland Browns didn't have that many picks, but they did a pretty good job with the small amount that they did have. Mike Hall Jr. out of Ohio State was one of the better defensive tackles in this draft class. This dude is violent. He's physical. You turn this dude's tape on, you watch his highlights, he's just absolutely fun to watch. He's pushing guys down. He's running over guys. He's bulldozing guys. This dude is just a human wrecking machine on the defensive line. Scouts have concerns about his size. He is like 290, but you put him next to Myles Garrett, oh my goodness. You talk about having two of the most athletic freaks at their positions. Like, this dude is an insane athlete. It's just, you watch him at Ohio State, this dude, as soon as the ball snaps, it's just instant violence, bro. Just a lot of carnage with him. Bodies flying, bodies dropping all over the field with this dude. Zach Zinter in round three, he is coming off that injury that he suffered late last year, which was really scary, but we saw all the injuries that the Browns dealt with last year, and in spite of all that, their offensive line still playing well with fourth and fifth string guys that they probably signed off the street. Imagine if you get Zach Zinter, you can get him healthy for a year, similar to what the Baltimore Ravens are doing right now with Andrew Voorhees, the offensive tackle that they got late last year out of USC who suffered an injury late. So you get a guy like Zach Zinter, who was one of the best offensive linemen, period, in college football. You got somebody who has a really high ceiling. If he was healthy, he probably could have been a early round two guy, in my opinion. And with all of the talent that the Browns already have on the offensive line, they got a really good offensive line coach. Zach Zinter could be one of those picks that you look at in the next 3-4 years and say, damn, like, they got him in round three and this dude's playing at a Pro Bowl level. Jamari Thrasher, I look at him a little bit similar to Devontae Walker, but with a little bit more elusiveness, and he offers you way more after the catch. As a matter of fact, you know, if you're the Cleveland Browns, you put Jamari Thrasher in the slot and you get him involved via jet sweeps and bubble screens, you definitely could find a really good role for him in this offense. And they've been searching for a good deep threat for a while. I remember they used to have that dude from Auburn whose last name was Shorts. Everybody used to think that he could become that next deep threat for the Browns that they were looking for, but they couldn't get it right with him, and they're still searching for one. Jamari Thrasher may be that dude, though, but You know, I wasn't really that high on him. He wasn't even in my top 20 receivers just because I don't really think he's that great against press coverage. I think he's somebody who you have to manufacture open. But if you can get the ball in his hands, he does offer a lot of ability after the catch. Nathaniel Watson, I think this is a pretty good pickup. You get somebody who can come in, contribute on special teams, be a good backup potentially, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he could end up pushing for a starting job. You know, like, he wasn't too bad at Mississippi State. Miles Harden, excuse me. He was projected to be a third or fourth round pick, and you get him all the way in the seventh round out of South Dakota State. This dude was one of the best cornerbacks in FCS. Really physical, pretty good athlete. The Cleveland Browns are going to love this dude. He definitely fits the build of what Jim Schwartz is looking out of his corners. He's going to be somebody who also is not going to be afraid to get his hands dirty in the run game. I give the Browns a B. Could have been higher if they had a few more picks, but you don't really have a lot to go off. It's like Mike Hall, Zach Zinter. I see both of those two guys as Pro Bowl level players. And then Jamari Thrives, I think he could be like average at best. And then Miles Harden, we'll see. I like him a lot, but you know, when you draft the cornerback this late, you know, sometimes a lot of them are more misses than they are hits, but I do like him. He could end up turning into a really quality starter. So overall, you get potentially two Pro Bowl caliber interior deep linemen, pretty much. You get a defensive lineman, you get an offensive lineman, you get a potential deep threat. So this is a pretty decent draft for the Cleveland Browns with the amount of picks that they had to work with. And that's it for this episode. And that's it for this episode of the JT Sports Podcast. If you guys enjoyed, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, rate the podcast 5-star reviews on Apple and Spotify, share it with your friends, family members, and acquaintances. Follow us on social media, Instagram at JT Sports_@X@JT_. Remember, if you have a question that you would like answered on a future episode, you can send them in the DMs or you can at them on X. And if they're good enough, we could potentially feature it on a future episode. But I will see you guys shortly with some more draft grades. Make sure you like, subscribe,